The Christ Within by Lillian DeWaters. Chapter 11. In divine science, there is no personal healer. Should you call for spiritual treatment and receive benefit, it is not that the practitioner's right thoughts have entered your mentality as mental telepathy, correcting your thoughts and thus making a change in your body correspondingly. If the practitioner understands God and reality, he realizes the truth of being. For you, that is, he realizes that life is God, and life is one, and life is perfect. Hence, you cannot be sick, cannot be harmed, cannot die. He realizes that there is but one mind, the mind of God, which cannot think evil, cannot think sickness, cannot think sorrow, cannot think death. Since there is no other mind, then spiritual man never thought anything but perfect life, perfect harmony, perfect joy, and perfect peace. He realizes that the only real body is the manifestation of life, truth, love. Hence it continually shows forth, radiates, and reflects the harmony of life, truth, love, and there is no other body. He realizes there is but one man, one self, with a capital S, filling all space, ever present, and this self is the perfect self, the man of God, the Christ. He realizes the union of Father and Son, the oneness of life, the allness of Christ. There is one idea of ocean, one idea of star, one idea of love, and there is one idea of man. God holds in consciousness this one idea of perfection, and in order that we demonstrate our oneness with God, we think as God thinks, we see as God sees, we hear as God hears, we speak as God speaks. Thus, as a practitioner becomes one in consciousness with God, he realizes all mankind is one. The world is not made up of millions of separate persons. There is but one person known to God, and this person is the Christ of you and me. This Christ is the perfect self, filling all space and ever present. As the practitioner sees, hears, thinks, feels this oneness of life, and as the patient has opened the door of his consciousness to truth, the patient feels the results of the practitioner's realization. For as all men are one, the practitioner, in treating the patient, draws him into the circle which he establishes in his consciousness as the oneness and the allness of God. The practitioner knows the truth, and because he knows it, in consciousness, the patient, having asked for help from him, receives the benefit of the practitioner's realization. This is high watch. This is spiritual treatment. This is divine healing. In spiritual healing, the first one to be conscious of health, harmony, reality, is not the patient, but is the practitioner. And he proves to the patient the nothingness of sickness and sin by demonstrating to him the ever-presence of perfect health and harmony. Aiming at the patient's mind to correct his thinking is but doctoring the body through the mentality. There is no body to be healed in reality. There is no change to take place in the patient's mind in reality. There is no thing to be done in reality. There is no patient in reality. All is forever here and now, eternally perfect, eternally at hand, eternally manifested in reality. This is the truth that the healer knows, and as the patient has left open to him the door of his soul, the light that is in the consciousness of the practitioner, and is the light of the world, enters the consciousness of the patient. We do not aim to destroy or even to change that which does not exist, but aim to bring that which is to the conscious awareness of another, so that he realizes and experiences its presence. Jesus Christ knew reality, and those approaching him for help had faith. This is the perfect combination, unity, concord, resulting in healing or in the manifestation of harmony. The practitioner is to know the truth, and the patient is to have faith, confidence, and obedience. Saying that truth is true thought is not looking up. It is but looking to the mentality for understanding, and ever the mind would call itself God. To state that true thought is truth is more permissible than to state that truth is true thought. It is not a grave error to say that the ray of light is the sun, but who would think of calling the sun a ray of light? True thinking is the result of truth. Because there is truth, there is also true thought, or thought in unity with truth. Truth is first and above all. If the true thought of man made up truth, then there would be no truth without true thought of man. And we know better than this. Truth is God, Christ, reality, and the right thought in the consciousness of man is because of God, Christ, reality. Love is not loving thought. The loving thought is the expression of love. Entering a room filled with the glorious sunlight, one is apt to exclaim, "Oh, see the sun!" This is not entirely correct. The sun is not in the room, for the sun is outside the room, but the light of the sun is in the room. Truth and true thought, love and loving feeling, can well be understood from the illustration of the sun and its rays. Also, calling the individual God is the same as calling the ray the sun, or calling the foot the body. Our real selfhood is one with God, the Father, or is Christ, the Son. The drop of ocean is ocean, but is not the ocean. In plainer words, the particle is not the whole. We do not assert a selfhood separate from God, but we do assert a selfhood forever at one with God, inseparable and indissoluble. We are ever the branch, and into us flows the living water, the living vine. Thou art the vine, and I, O Jesus, am the branch of thine. And day by day from thee new life flows into me. Naught have I of my own, but all my strength is drawn from thee alone. As severed from the tree the branch must die, so even I could never live this life of mine apart from thee, O living vine. But thou dost dwell in me, and I in thee. Yea, thine own life through me doth flow, and in thyself I live and grow. That the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, are but names given to certain qualities of the individual mentality, no wakeful, spiritually minded soul will accept or long believe. Because man is a trinity, there is no ground for calling the individual mind God. Man is triune because God is triune, and man is like God. Whatever God is, man is that. Christ is truth, your Savior. When you perceive that Christ stands for the unreality of disease and disorder, and the reality and the allness of God in heaven and man, Christ is truth, your King. When you perceive that through Christ you understand your real self, your birthless and deathless being, Christ is truth, your way, your life. When you accept Christ as God with us, Emmanuel, Christ is the Spirit of truth, indivisible, universal, the light of the world, the resurrection of the dead, and because of this Christ in you, you are able to walk over the waves and still the storms and love God supremely. Peace be unto you. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. We, having been born again, are no longer earth children, but are children of the resurrection, possessors of all that belongs to the risen Christ. At the mental stage, or intermediate state between the physical and the spiritual, one thinks he is a mental being composed of thoughts and ideas and feelings. You can examine your thoughts and your reasons and your feelings. You can set them aside and look at them the same as you would look at some books or pictures. You can judge them and choose them. This proves that the I is greater than the thoughts and ideas, for thoughts and ideas and reasons are but tools or instruments. The highest mental state of thought can be set aside by the I and considered, but you cannot set aside the I for consideration. The I is the considerer of the things or thoughts considered. The I is the examiner of the things and thoughts examined. The I cannot be set aside nor examined, because the I is first above all. It is the divine spark. It is the drop of spirit. High watch shows us that the I is not the mentality, that the I is not reason nor right thinking. High watch shows us that the I is master of the mind and master of the body. As soon as you set up a line of right thoughts to think and consider these right thoughts your healer, you are looking below the eye for salvation. It is the same as if a man made a set of tools and then looked to these tools as greater than himself. If he made the tools, then he is greater and is above the tools, and they are his servants. If you say that you create right thoughts, then if you look to these right thoughts as power, you are looking to your own creation. Look up. Consider the I above all. You are a real being with your roots in the absolute, wherefrom you draw nourishment, life, wisdom, strength, and glory. All life is one life. Hence, you are in touch with all reality. You are not your tools. You are not your thoughts. You, the Spirit of God, the perfect man, are forever held in the bosom of the absolute as ideal, divine. The I knows that it is reality. Hence, the I never thinks sickness, sorrow, or death, but forever realizes the King and the finished kingdom. Did you ever sit and ponder over a problem, not seeing your way out and unable to think out the solution? Then all of a sudden, when you were unaware, the solution dawned upon your thought? Your mind did not voluntarily create that right thought or idea. We can guide thought, but much of our mental operations take place in a realm other than the conscious realm of mind, or mind conscious of creating its thinking. Reason does not originate. Reason displays what is in the mind. Vision gives the mind new reason. Spiritual treatment aims not to treat the mind of the patient. The practitioner looking up to reality, the kingdom of heaven reflects what he sees and feels, blessing all planes beneath, and the patient finds his mind enlightened, his body harmonious, his soul exalted. This spiritual seeing or knowing is above conscious thinking. And the practitioner never permits that he is doing the work, for at the moment he thinks this, he brings himself to a lower level, admitting that he is healing something, whereas in the universe of Christ and perfection there is nothing to heal or to be healed. Divine science teaches the unreality of sickness and all that is unlike God because of the reality of perfection ever present. A lie is a lie, nothing. A dream is a dream, nothing. As one wakens to living truth, he manifests truth. Do not fight a dream, but waken from it. It is impossible for the practitioner to know with his soul the allness of God and the unreality of disease, and at the same time sense an abnormal growth as growing smaller or an unnatural condition as going away. With one eye on reality and the other eye on changing the patient's thoughts, where does the practitioner stand? God requires the single eye. If thine eye be single, one-pointed, thy whole body shall be full of light, harmony. When the patient is dreaming, believing that he is sick, the manifestation of disease is the result of his dream and is the dream. If the practitioner attempts to heal by means of his own thoughts directed to the mind of the patient, what is the practitioner doing, if anything, other than changing the dream of the dreamer? If the patient is dreaming that he has an abnormal growth and the healer send him the thought that the growth is getting smaller, suppose that the growth does get smaller in appearance. What is it but a change in the dream? Why not waken the dreamer rather than change his dream? Otherwise, he is still asleep and at any time may experience another dream. In spiritual treatment, the patient awakes, discovers his harmony, and the dream is gone. Mental healing tends to make a reality of disease in the thought of the sick, for let one endeavor to use his own right thoughts to heal himself, and should the condition not disappear, or should the condition grow worse, the sick one is in a panic, filled with fear, knowing not what to think next, and this state of mind, being unscientific, induces a worse state in the body. If one wishes mental treatment, let him have it, but let the patient understand whether he is having mental treatment, giving his mind over to the healer, or whether he is having spiritual treatment, opening his consciousness to God. If sickness is an illusion, and it is, then it is an externalization of erring belief. And why attempt to make a change in the illusion or erring belief? For instance, while the healer send a mental message to the mind, the healer is not knowing that there is no impurity to go away. Life has no impurity. Life is changeless. Life is God, perfect, immutable, always and forever. Knowing this wakens the patient, and he finds himself well. Let us see to it that we are not trying to change a lie, to alter a delusion, or to better a dream. When we are earnestly seeking living bread, let us be satisfied with nothing less. Many good spiritual practitioners have undermined and ruined their work by discovering that they themselves were healers. We do not make spirit. We do not make the light. If we place ourselves in the right position to the sun will give us light. All that we do is to place ourselves in the right position. As spirit is life and gives life, strength, harmony, and glory, we place ourselves in touch with, in tune with, and in harmony with, in vision with, in oneness with spirit. Reality and the blessing is automatic, ready at hand. In mental treatment, it is correct to speak of the healer as one who heals, but not so in spiritual treatment. The higher one's character, the purer one's consciousness, the greater one's spiritual faith in reality, the greater his power to bless others. In spiritual healing, it is imperative that the practitioner be spiritually minded. In spiritual work, no effort is made to heal anyone or to heal anything, yet the results of good are very frequently instantaneous. Many using mental means to heal will declare that their work is being done along spiritual lines. But let us all look deep and long. Where is the practitioner's vision to the mind of the patient, sending it strong thoughts or suggestions of health and strength? Or is his vision placed on high, to reality, to Christ, to perfect manifestation, which includes the so-called patient? The avenue called right thought is a good avenue, and is a step from the physical to the spiritual, and a step that many find necessary and advantageous. However, the student should be taught in the beginning that his vision overshadows his thinking and determines his thinking. For if he will have the right vision, he will automatically have the right thoughts. Attention to one's right thinking is hard work. Labor and watching the intellect tends to harden the character, making such a thinker cold and self-righteous, egotistic and domineering. Whereas with the vision fixed to perfect God and perfect man, or what has been called divine love and its perfect idea, the character manifests or expresses divine love, tenderness, and compassion. There is a self, with a capital S, of ourself. This is the divine I, the king self, with power and dominion, right vision and right manifestation. And in this flawless self, with a capital S, we find nothing but perfection and glory. All the learning from books cannot encompass this Christ mind. With vision fixed to this perfect man, heavenly thoughts come to us, float into our minds as though blown there by a mighty wind. Often they arrive so fast that we have difficulty in catching them all. High vision forever antedates high thinking, bringing inspiration that forgives the affairs of the lower planes. There are some questions ever being put to us, and these questions are recorded in the Bible. Each must answer for himself. Where art thou? What is this that thou hast done? What doest thou here? There is but one God, the I Am, the Omnipotent One, and there is no other power. There is but one God, the I Am, the only cause, and there is no other activity. There is but one person, the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, filling all space, and there is no other presence. The finished kingdom is prepared, is at hand, and perfect man now inherits this kingdom, now abides in it, and I am this man. No other presence, power, being, law, activity is manifested, but one perfect king and one perfect kingdom, and I know this truth. All honor, all victory, all praise, all glory belongs to Jesus Christ, Lord of heaven and Lord of earth. Jesus Christ is my selfhood, and there is no other selfhood. His life is my life. His power is my power. His victory is my victory. His glory is my glory. His self is my self. Because he has overcome the world, I have overcome the world, and there is no other vision. I see in every man Jesus Christ, the one ideal, changeless, complete, glorious, with face as the sun and with body as the light, and there is no other being. Jesus Christ within me, Jesus Christ without me, Jesus Christ above me, Jesus Christ instead of me, Jesus Christ radiating health, joy, peace, triumph, here and now, in heaven and in earth, and I rest in this great truth. This is the conclusion of Chapter 11 of The Christ Within by Lillian DeWaters.